Hello, everyone. I'm Roy Mattel, an author and podcaster, and you're listening to Captain Roy's Rusty Rocket Radio Show, the UK geek science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcast, episode 530, taped on Sunday, the 17th of March, 2024, at 23:01:13. Had to do the dips each time I read those digits from the bottom of my screen. They're very blurry at this distance. Okay. Yes, I'm reading off the screen, not the music stand today, and I am speaking to you on my Shure SM58, not my Shure SM7B. Not for any particular reason, I just wanted to experiment with how it sounded with my new post-processing process, which is much faster. Okay. This is an extra episode of the Geek Life zine type show. That is, I'm not reviewing something or revisiting something. Not today. The reason I'm doing this, yes, I'm going to explain to you why so soon after the last one, is, well, twofold really. Friday was a brilliant day. That is very unusual for me to have a brilliant day. Today wasn't that bad either. But Saturday was neither of those things. It was terrible. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't brilliant. It was absolutely awful. So I feel that I need to decompress because I don't see my therapist until tomorrow. Brace yourselves. We are going in, though not by car. Probably not by public transport either. Now, I'll get to that a bit later. And by the way, if you're a crypto bro waiting for my amazing revelation, that will come at the end of the show. So if you want to hear how I solve motor insurance in the UK, wait until then. I'm not stringing you along. No, not at all. Okay, let's get into the show now. Let's talk science fiction, fantasy and horror, books, comics, movies, TV, games and toys. Or at least some of that. I have ordered some books. I have ordered The Wolfen, Communion, The Hunger, The Last Vampire, and Lilith's Dream. I've ordered, and I'm waiting for these, Whitley Strieber novels, all of which, excepting Communion, I think, I'm not sure whether I've read that or not, I read many years ago. Possibly Communion as well, though I'm not sure. Like I said, this is the Geek Life zine episode. I may review things, I may not, I may just chat about them. I'm going to chat about these. Whitley Strieber, or Strieber, is an unusual writer. But he is a good writer, and an interesting author. Let's start off with The Wolfen. The Wolfen, that's wolf with E-N on the N, is a clever and very creepy twist on the werewolf mythos. It proposes that, alongside the development of mankind, a secretive species of apex cryptid predators have grown along beside us because they regard some humans as their primary prey. So if ever people go missing, homeless seem to disappear, well, it's probably the work of the Wolfen. Communion, the book that I may or may not have read, is an autobiographical book detailing Whitley Strieber's personal recollection of UFO abduction. Yes, and I'm not going to repeat that. The Hunger, The Last Vampire, and Lilith's Dream are a trilogy of very graphic vampire novels. They are violent, sensual, and tragic. In other words, everything that a series of really good vampire novels should be. And by the way, I bought these books partly on A-Books, partly on eBay. I'm not being coy, I have just ordered quite a lot of books in the last week, so I can't remember from where. Okay, let's see. Where was I? Oh yeah. The Wolfen, filmed as Wolfen, starring Albert Finney, Communion, starring Christopher Walken, and The Hunger, starring David Bowie and Catherine Deneuve, have, as I've said, because I've said starring all these megastars, been adapted for film. The last, The Hunger, is one of my favourite horror movies, and Deneuve is icily incandescent. I.e. she is ice cold and blazing hot as the immortal Queen of the Night. And of course I'd like that movie. So stylish, so cool, so original, so monstrous. And Pete Murphy does the Bauhaus song Bela Lugosi's Dead in the title sequence of the movie. Yeah, I'm looking forward to those. Of course, those are a combination of horror, and if you're not going to take Communion as autobiographical science fiction, I have also ordered a non-fiction book. I ordered Haunted London, or rather, I reordered recently when the first didn't turn up. And that is a classic book by ghost hunter Peter Underwood on London hauntings, including one that turned out to be a proven fake. The idea is I add a little extra spice to my monthly London walks. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, and I hope I get it soon, because I'll be in London in just under a week, and then again a couple of weeks later. Yesterday, that would have been the 16th. Of course, it's 17th today. Why am I even bothering telling you that? My mother asked me to choose a film for her. I found Alastair Sim's The Green Man from 1956. This is a delightfully nasty and extremely funny black comedy that begins with a first-person voiceover by Alastair Sim, in which he tells us how the nascent act of his career as an assassin was accidentally blowing up his headmaster. As far as I can recall, he said something about, rigging the inkwell in the chap's desk. And obviously, he used a bit too much explosive and blew his headmaster to kingdom come. While I can't condone such murderous behaviour, we've all had headmasters and teachers who fill us with fury. I certainly have, and believe me, that lasted well into adulthood. Which brings me on to another book that I think deserves an adaptation. I've talked about this before, and if a film like The Green Man can exist about an assassin who blows up people, politicians, I can't see why Eric Frank Russell's classic 1957 science fiction novel Wasp can't also be adapted for screen. What's the controversy? Why hasn't it been made? Well, Wasp is a comedic science fiction novel I read many years ago with a similarly troubling plot. Depending on how you look at it, our protagonist hero is either a heroic, behind-the-lines saboteur, or a terrorist. And that's Wasp. I highly recommend that you seek out this novel. It's great. It's funny, and it's very, very wrong. Those are the main topics of the main part of the show, I suppose, this week. The next item, I'll just read you the title. Le Weekend Ruined by Thinking About Cars Instead of Playing Role-Playing Games. You see, there is a link to geekdom here. It is pretty thin, but it does exist, and I'll explain now. Do you remember how I complained about just about everything about the Golf GTI Mark 7.5? One of the problems was insurance. However, I have since then taken quotes on many different cars and motorcycles, we'll get onto that in a bit, and somewhat belatedly have realised that the UK motor insurance industry has been screwing us silly since last year. Why belatedly? Well, it serves me right for not staying abreast of the news, which I do because I value my mental health. There are articles that I found in Auto Express and The Guardian talking about this, and no doubt other papers as well, and on the news, on TV, if you pay attention to the news, which I don't. Turns out, through my quotes on Confused.com, even a bog-standard 7-year-old 1.3-litre Fiat 500, which is about the cheapest car that you could insure, would cost me, wait for it, 700 quid to insure. £700. Compare that to less than £400 UK money for my now scrapped 2.4-litre Chrysler PT Cruiser. That's crazy, isn't it? This car that has almost no performance and is fairly safe is almost twice the price of a big American battle tank to insure. That thing I was saying about the bike, well, we'll get onto that in a bit, but I have tweeted that I have put a deposit down on a bike. Talk about that in a bit. But I did take a quote on how much it would be to insure my little beginner 125cc motorcycle. And guess what? It only costs a little less than the Fiat to insure. What the hell's going on? The vehicle insurance industry in the UK is a scammy scandal. The insurance industry claims parts are scarce and drivers are careless, and no doubt theft has a part to play. But does that really account for such a sharp increase? Well, I'm not an economist or a politician. All I know is that it's making it really difficult for me to own motor vehicles. A demand for an inquiry was recently rejected by the government. The Financial Conduct Authority in the UK said that they'll look into this, but at the moment the rates are quite competitive. Are they high? Successive governments of every stripe have destroyed the UK's public transport infrastructure, making us almost totally dependent on private vehicle ownership. And you might not think of taxes as private vehicle ownership, but yeah, private individuals have to buy a taxi and insure it, and that's how we have a taxi service. So I'd include those in that collective pool of private vehicle ownership. And now they've made it so hard for us to own cars that it seems they want to take even that option away to everyone except the exceptionally well-off. All I can say is the insurance industry, politicians, they're all a bunch of bastards. And this is a follow-up from Pod 527, when we decided to return the Golf GTI to the dealer. Given how expensive insurance is anyway, I wish we'd kept it, despite the comfort and noise issues. It's still the best car I've ever been inside. I'm an idiot. What do I do now? I have absolutely no bloody idea. I really screwed that one up. By the way, Regarding those quotes, I took them on Saturday, that's yesterday, and that is the reason my day was ruined. So I had a brilliant day on Friday when I put down the deposit on the bike. Not a bad day today because I went to the circus. Hey! Yesterday was terrible. What I should have done, instead of looking up quotes all morning, is attend a role-playing game meetup I had earmarked in my calendar. The reason I didn't do that is because I was so excited on Friday from finally finding a motorcycle. I didn't get to bed too early and I was really tired. So instead, I decided to make my life even worse and look up insurance. And in the process, almost destroying my mental health. So I'm really a double idiot. Yeah, I really should have gone to the games meetup. That would have been far more fun. Sometimes you've just got to put work on hold and go and enjoy yourself, you know, instead of driving yourself around the bend. Before we properly saunter right off topic, I'm going to take a short break and I'll be back. So I'm getting a bit hot now and I've got a... Oh yeah, by the way, I've got a, for refreshment, Thatcher's Zero, which is Somerset cider, alcohol-free. I'm not particularly into alcohol-free ciders because they can be a bit sugary. This one seems okay. And I found it in the bottom of the cupboard. So it's something different to drink apart from 7-Up Zero or water or juice. I'm going to have a little sit down, a little sip of that, and I'll be back. Oh, and another little addendum before I go. You know, I was saying I'm just trying this SM58 for variety and see how it works with the new editing process. The other thing I did notice with a Shure SM7B is I had a little extra reverb. I think it's just a wider pickup pattern, so I'm hoping the narrow pickup pattern might get rid of some of that reverb, but who the hell knows? There's always going to be a reverb problem in here because it's a big room and I've got blankets dangling everywhere and soft furnishings. Doesn't make a difference. It's not a great studio room. I'm waffling and waffling when I should be resting. See you in a moment. And that really was a moment. I just had a little sip of the cider. Yeah, it's a little drier than other zero alcohol beverages. So that's good, not quite as sweet. I tell you, talking about beverages, I've been developing a taste for wine in my gravy lately. Oh man, just had white or red wine, drier rather than fruitier, to your gravy. Add some Scarborough Fair, so parsley, sage, rosemary and thyme, and some black pepper to your gravy as well. Mix it all together, cook it up a bit. Oh man, it just makes everything taste a lot better. Culinary advice over. Let us canter into off-topic forest. This has absolutely nothing to do with science fiction, fantasy and horror. It's about my motorcycle. A Honda Monkey Z125 motorcycle. So, yeah, is it all gloom and doom? No, it isn't. Before financial worries made Saturday go pear-shaped, I did manage to bargain down the on-the-road price of a new Honda Monkey from a local dealer. The reason I managed to bargain them down is there was another dealer further away offering a really good price, and I told them about that. Would you do a price match? I didn't put them under any pressure because I felt a bit guilty. It was a huge discount. But I wanted to keep business in the area where I live rather than send it to another city. And they agreed, and it's all done, and I put a deposit down on this bike. I should be getting it next week sometime. Or this week, because it's Sunday, isn't it? Yeah, this week sometime. It has been 9 months since I did my compulsory basic training, so I really need a bike. Otherwise, that time's just going to dribble away and I'll have to go through the course again. About this bike? Well, if you're into motorcycles, you'll know all about this, but I'm guessing my audience, we're geeks. We're probably not all into motorcycles. This thing is comfortable. It's got an unbelievably thick and cushy seat, which is very important to me, as you'll find out in a moment. It is cute. It is little. It is retro, but it is a full manual motorcycle. So I can learn so that I can go for the big license. It is very retro 70s. If you see one of these, look on Google. And yeah, it just kind of suits me. I've got long hair and a beard, and on the day I had a baseball hat and, oh, what's that? I have a t-shirt. The Hellfire Club t-shirt from Stranger Things. Yeah, look, very, very 70s. This bike suits me. It looks good. It's comfortable to sit on. Hopefully, I'll learn to ride properly. Best of all, it reminds me of my childhood yellow rally chipper bicycle. The chipper, not the chopper. Cuter, but for smaller kids. Why didn't I buy secondhand? I've been telling you about money worries. Well, yeah, you're right. I would have loved to buy secondhand. The only problem is, for some reason, maybe because there's a demand for 125cc bikes, because people need to buy them to learn, I've seen smaller bikes cost more than bigger bikes because of that. Yeah, they're not that cheap, secondhand. There is a UK business called Superbike Factory. I have been looking on their site for ages. One of the last bikes that was offered to me was a decade-old Suzuki RV Van Van. Similar low-slung little cute motorbike. They wanted about $2,500 plus another round about £500 for administration and delivery, and you can see where I'm going. It's expensive. Not that much cheaper. Hardly at all cheaper than a brand new bike. And of course, you get a very short warranty on the second-hand bike, and you also have no MOT-free years. That's why I did it. So Friday was a happy day. But you know me, you listen to this podcast, every silver lining has a cloud, because getting a bike is hardly transport for the whole family, and that still weighs heavily on my mind. But I'm going to try and forget it tonight, because I've got it off my chest now. I should stop talking about it. Thanks for helping me depressurize. On to something else. On to something happier. Zaire Circus. That's Z-Y-A-I-R Circus. Earlier today, we went to the circus. We caught the 3 o'clock show this afternoon. I've visited circuses many times before, so has my family. We really like circuses. Though not in this city. And each year, the circus comes and goes from our city, but we never attend. We get the flyers, but we just, for some reason, something else comes up and we don't go. This time, we did go. It's something my mum has wanted to do for a while. She even keeps those colourful flyers that they post through the letter slot. And yet, we never go. This time, we did. The circus was fairly sparsely staffed. People doubled up on jobs, but they usually do in the circus. Even then, there seemed to be not that many people around. The human-only acts, of course, they're all only human acts nowadays. We no longer have animal acts, thank God. Included acrobats, extortion... I must have been thinking about the insurance industry because I was about to say extortionists. What I meant was contortionists, tightrope walkers, a clown. Only one clown, though. He was pretty talented, but there was only one clown. And a three dirt bike riders act with them zooming inside a tiny Mad Max Thunderdome style cage at a bazillion miles per hour. It was highly stressful watching. I was absolutely riveted, terrified more than excited. I'm just glad that no one died. What I did find, though, and this brings us back to the Honda Monkey with its comfortable seat, is that my backside suffered greatly on the hardwood benches. That's no one's fault, that's just the circus. It was quite an event, and I'm glad I went with Mum, and I'm glad my Mum had a good time. So, we get to the after show. What is the moral of the story, or this podcast? What is my solution that I promised the techno bros, the crypto bros, the VCs, the venture capitalists, people with the filthy lucre? How can you invest your money to make money with my brilliant idea of subverting the UK vehicle insurance industry? Here goes. Are you ready? Forget cars. Okay? Two options here. Learn magic. Thank you, Alistair Crowley. That's magic with a K at the end. And charm a broom and fly on it. Yes? Broom flying. Or, and this is even better, this has a bit of cultural resonance for me. And that is to ride a magic carpet instead. Magic carpets, brilliant idea. And also, in the city where I live, there are some works of art with statues of children riding flying carpets. Yeah, very appropriate. Let me tell you about flying carpets. Its properties are singular and marvellous. Whoever sitteth on this carpet and willeth in thought to be taken up and set down upon other sight will, in the twinkling of an eye, be borne thither, be that place near hand or distant many a day's journey and difficult to reach. And that quote is from the Book of the Thousand Nights and a Night, Volume 13, translated by Sir Richard Francis Burton and published by the Burton Club in 1887. I accessed that via Gutenberg. So there you are. Get in on the ground level. Or rather, the ground level and you take off and fly around on this exciting investment opportunity, rich people. Magic carpets, you heard it here first. Get in touch if you're interested. I'll put together a portfolio. And that, my friends and venture capitalists, is it. It's time to say goodbye. You can find me, Roy Matur, R-O-Y-M-A-T-H-U-R, at roymatur.com. Please review, rate, support, and recommend the show to a friend or mortal enemy, of which I've probably got quite a few after this episode. Either way, we both win. The time at the end of the show is 23-34-05. As always, thanks for listening, and bye-bye for now. Bye!